Mexican soccer show. Here we go. Here we go. Mexico versus U.S. The last qualifier, I would say, like the last good qualifier, right? Like we can talk about that, how it might be last one, but we're here.
We'll see how good it is.
Joanna saying hello, saying she's excited to finally be back catching the stream again live. Yes, yes, yes. Chivas del Norte here to talk about Beltran being snubbed from the national team. Saludos, Alex B. All right, all right. Here we go. Amy in Dallas, Texas, who we'll get into it and why she's in Dallas a little bit. Cesar and San Diego. Alrighty. Getting into, we still telling us about the Spirit experience.
I'm curious about that too, man.
Yes, let's talk about it. So we back, cool Mexican 48. Let's do this. All right. How are you guys feeling? How are you?
You told me that you were going to have everything taken care of for the show, yet the private chat says otherwise. So I'm fine, all things considered. But honestly, I'm going to let you get away with it because you had a terrible experience.
No, you last didn't night. Get away with it. You just said it right now. So it's not letting me get away with it.
Well, you just did say. You
let's did prepare say. For the chicken biscuit said, let's prepare for the pain. Cesar, who is always on the sideline when Amy and I start arguing about.
It's fun. It's like my parents arguing, you know? Like you just don't know when to step in.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that comparison. Love it. We're supposed to be breaking generational trauma, not reinforcing it.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, a lot of people joining. Cool. Yeah, let's jump right in. So first of all, for anybody, this show is not endorsed by Spirit ever. Ever. Even if they came on this show and said, guys, we got you all, you know, everything you got,
all
you know,
game tickets will
all game. I will get you to your destination. No, like this is Spirit. Don't ever fly that airline. Amy and I are doing a project in Dallas and with some student athletes, and we're doing some critical videos and telling their stories. We're all set to go. And I book a plane on Sunday night to Dallas. There's nothing else coming from Phoenix like outside of that, and I see Spirit and I'm like, all right, all I have to do is that our call times with the productions at 10 a.m the next day, I'm good. Read my thread. It went horrendous. It's 7-hour layover. They got me in the plane, we're ready to go, and then they cut us out, everything got canceled, and I didn't get to go to Dallas. So Amy's in Dallas right now. She is a boss. She's taking care of everything and
you're
doing
welcome.
The job of three people at least. So Amy, thank you for being there.
I would really appreciate it if, you know, you had just taken care of the one thing that you to do.
Yeah, so I was supposed to take care of some stuff here. So sorry if this Mexican talk show is a little bit it's not as prepared. But here we are.
There's like one listener who's like, who definitely is in the higher up, like within Spirit.
Doesn't know.
And then he or she is just like heartbroken right now. I'm like, oh man. Just absolutely one person.
All right. So, okay. Mexico versus US is finally here. I was getting prepared and I wanted to put like a cool little production thing, but they didn't let me do it. Like I wanted to have
it. It serves no purpose. Cesar's being
nice, it was like a cool song. Like we were going to come in like really like, you know, like listen to the sound.
We had questions about what is this.
Imagine Mexico versus US at the Azteca for the World Cup. Oh, she took it off.
No.
I thought it would be cool, but then the imagery looks like a kid in a bullet hole. And
it's not the best imagery right now. We shouldn't be sharing stuff like that right now.
So we got shut down by that. So anyway, all right. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Mexico versus the US. Does it feel like that's like, I feel like there's something missing in the air. I don't know what it is, but I don't feel like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is like the biggest game of the qualifiers. Is it me? Is it because I haven't slept the whole night?
It's definitely, I mean, I think there's like, a lot.
Are you already feeling it?
I was like, you already did a pod, so that could also be.
Ooh, that's true.
No, it's not shade. I'm just saying you kind of already talked about it. So maybe it's.
No, but that was, you know, that was with the US soccer guys. Like, I feel like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like, all right, it's Thursday. It's a long way from here. Or usually the week of. I don't know. Something about the in the air.
I think right now it's just it's a little tough because Mexico and the United States are both in good positions, and even though
positions,
what?
We're 21 points. We can go to the repechaje.
No, 21 points is decent.
The U.S. could be out of the World Cup.
We'll dive into some of the numbers later. Don't worry. Decent. Let's put them at decent. Let's say a decent position. And I think for Mexico, and okay, so there's two things, and once again, we'll dive into this later. One, Mexico, they know that even if they lose this game, which obviously would be historic, that being the most Aztecasos of Aztecasos, even if they're to lose this game, they still have two opponents, which they, in theory, should be able to defeat. And the U.S., probably, if you think about as much as I, as a media person, should be hyping up this game, blah, 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 and it is going to be a huge game. There's a number of reasons why it's going to be a huge game. But you can make the argument that the most important games for them in this window isn't against Mexico, it's against Costa Rica and Panama. So I can kind of see why it feels that way, but it is still important for a number of reasons. Like, for example, and we've talked about on this podcast just how this is kind of like the end of an era of these World Cup qualifiers at the Azteca, because obviously Mexico and United States don't have to qualify for the next World Cup, and who knows what World Cup qualifying is going to look like after that. So the stakes that usually are put on these kinds of games, like it's going to kind of diminish or just be absolutely gone kind of going forward. So it does kind of feel like the end of an era, which for me personally, I do feel like it is going to be a big game. And obviously just like regardless of what I just said there, we can crunch the numbers later, but whoever wins this game, and depending on other factors, their World Cup, the odds of them qualifying for the World Cup just skyrocket. Whoever wins this, it's not going to guarantee them, based off this result alone, a spot in the World Cup, but it will help them significantly. There's no denying that.
And how are you feeling about this game?
I already established my place when it comes to these World Cup qualifiers, okay? I'm very lukewarm in that sense. I would never wish for failure at all. I'm not that kind of confused Mexico club over country person, if you will. But I'm just kind of like, let's just qualify at this point. Let's just go ahead and take care of it. I'm not traveling to this game because I don't want my first time at the Azteca to potentially be a loss. Do I want them to lose? No, but
are you saying it's going to happen, Amy?
We can't be like in denial about it, or we can't be unrealistic about potential things happening.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. Ooh. That's fair. The U.S. do have a lot of injuries.
You're not going to a game because you might lose.
I just don't want my first. It would be my first game at the Azteca, and I don't want it to be a loss.
But you've been at the Azteca, haven't you?
Never. No.
No. Well, actually, this will potentially be my first game at the Azteca. But
well, that's right. You're going.
I'm going to the Azteca.
Well, hold on. It's like, one, have you guys ever feel like with like certain plans that it's like.
No, but
certain plans, it's just like you feel like you can't confirm it until you actually show up there. And like,
yeah.
So I feel like there would be several things that can go wrong.
Reaching to the choir, says I.
Yeah. So yeah, but in theory, I should be there, assuming all the things work. Cool. I don't make people from Tijuana. So
Espiritu. All right, because you know, I'm there in spirit.
But you won't, spirit, Amy. You won't be. But it's like you won't be there in spirit.
Apparently, not even spirit can help you.
All right, let's talk about the first season that came out. Here we go, Los Convocados. You kind of can't really see a lot of it, but a lot of people. This came out on Thursday night at midnight. Because
oh no, they gave it at a good time this time.
Okay, it came out at 8 p.m.
Did it come out at 8 p.m.?
It came out at night. It came out between the game. What game were we watching?
It was the own game, wasn't it?
No.
It was late afternoon, and I felt like a fool for waking up early that day.
Because Cesar had just made a joke about how it was going to come out at 1:30 a.m.
It came out, I think, during the Leon game.
I think it was 6, I want to say 6 or 7 p.m. Mexico time.
Yeah, all I know is that Leon got scored on, and then Federation was like, let's just put it out. No one's going to be watching this game. So the convocatoria, again, four keepers, which now, right? Okay, first of all, everybody's freaking out, four keepers. Where's Acevedo? Blah, 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 blah. Now we can confirm Acevedo's on his way. He probably already got there because Jonathan Orozco got injured. So now Acevedo will be there. Right.
Yeah.
The second reason why people freaking out was in the midfield, Mr. Rodolfo Pizarro. What the heck was he doing there? It looks like Tata, you know, has his, I don't know, his love for Pizarro is interesting.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to say that like I would have made the same decision, but I think that like in a crucial World Cup qualifier like run, I think what Tata was thinking is like Pizarro can play in the left wing, he could play in the midfield, and he understands the system, And I think there's got to be. I mean, the guy's probably not like as much as people want to say like online. He's clearly not a dummy. So like, I think he was just thinking, all right, bring that guy into the system as opposed to bringing someone else in who potentially doesn't understand the system. Thought that wants to bring in. But
in recent times, what does he have to prove that he would be a good asset to the roster?
But okay. So you have to figure out
he scored after the fact, if I remember correctly, or like he scored for Rayados like that same.
I think either way, he's not a part of the picture anymore, though. So like he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's not.
because of injury. Yeah,
he's not because of injury. But okay, so Tata's trying to put together a team that knows his system, right? And regardless of we want this player that has never played with the national team or against a qualifier against the U.S. to do something, we're putting Julian Araujo, Arteaga, which I totally get, Gallardo, Chaka's not in the system, but then you get towards the middle. I think Martin,
he's already been replaced. He reported.
We're
talking about what originally Tata had intended for his roster to look like.
And if you look at all the positions, who else? I mean, outside of Gallardo, is there some that has the experience that Tata needs for him to have in a World Cup qualifier against the U.S. in the very, very important game, right? This is why I think Gallardo is going to start. Like, Arteaga, right? And sure, he's gotten the nod in a starting position. But again, these are different types of games. So I think for Tata to put in even Pizarro to have that midfield is someone that he's counted on and knows the system rather well and has worked when Pizarro was good. I mean, but that was 2019 in the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like
two games.
No.
I mean, he had a really great game in the final. I'll give him that because I was a hater that entire tournament. But it
is interesting with this. So really quickly, it's a 29-man roster from Mexico was released last week. I thought what was curious from it was that due to injuries, Guardado, Funes Mori, Cata Dominguez, and Osvaldo Rodriguez all had injury issues, so I think that's the reason why they were left out. Interestingly enough, Orbelín Pineda and Shaka Rodriguez were left out, and I hadn't seen anything regarding injury issues for them.
No, Orbelín is not playing.
Yeah, exactly. And then the players who weren't involved in the last World Cup qualifying picture who were brought in were Santi Jiménez. Pizarro before he was dropped, Eric Aguirre, Jesus Alberto Angulo, and Israel Reyes. And then, like we said earlier today, FF confirmed the injuries for Pizarro and Jonathan Orozco, and now Acevedo and Roberto Alvarado are being brought in. So I think that's a decent amount of depth to, I don't know why I said it like that, for all three. I imagine they'll probably play their best 11 against the U.S. and then see how things go in the last two games, because I think that the task is, I don't know, it's much greater in that first game than the last two games. But I don't know, I think Mexico should be fine here. I think that they should be able to not only get the win against the U.S., but I don't know, it could potentially lead to a spot in the World Cup too, but that depends on other results.
Every time a coach has a list, there's going to be names that The coach only understands why they're there, and we're all just going to speculate over there. It was surprising to have Pizarro on there. But again, Pizarro, you know, looking at that creative midfield, you know, it's he's looking for that place. You know, Herrera gets subbed off. Who was that player that can create, right? And Pizarro has done that. Guardado. Guardado's not there. And that's the player that he's Pizarro's essentially replacing, right? In that yeah. kind of going forward. So I think if Guardado would have been there, I don't think Pizarro would have made the... And this is why you kind of bring in Piojo Alvarado, right? It's like you're bringing that player yeah. kind of going forward. So I understand player by player. Because if you take out, you know, why bring Pizarro? And people are like, why not bring in Marcelo Flores? It's just like, okay, hold on. What I kind of didn't understand, I think people were talking about it too, is Orbelin Pineda, who has been...
That was confusing. That was yeah. a little, I mean, I know he hasn't gotten a lot of minutes. And I still think that Orbelin, in theory... He should be the number two option at left wing if Chucky is unavailable. I think just because of, I mean, I know he doesn't have the same pace or kind of like this explosiveness as like Chucky, but like his creativity and his passing, like, I feel like he should be involved in the picture. And I imagine he'll be the kind of player who will go to the World Cup. But I do wonder in this specific situation, if Tata was just thinking,
yeah,
you know what? You aren't getting a lot of minutes. Sorry, if you aren't getting a lot of minutes, you're still in the national team picture, but you're just not involved right now.
Well, that's yeah. So my question is, okay, Orbelin didn't get
and
it.
That's why initially White Pizarro was in the picture. And like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I'm like, okay, Orbelin didn't get any minutes, but yet Diego Lainez got called. Who's not getting, although he's getting a little bit more minutes, but.
But Lainez is huge. Lainez is huge in those World Cup in off the bench recently. Yeah, so Lainez
off
is
the
good.
Bench against the U.S. I think we've seen what he can do, and he's hungry. So I don't think it's a terrible lineup. If anybody says, "Oh my God, we should be enough to beat the U.S.," just like you said. But again, it goes with Tata's personal choice. Hey, he did bring in Santi Jimenez, sure, because of Funes Mori.
He did leave out Chaka.
Yeah, he did leave out Chaka, so it's
which, by the way, got me insane numbers on TikTok. I just want to thank everybody.
Watch Amy's TikTok. So sure. But now we get into is it going to be the same old that are going to be playing in the Azteca? The only thing that I'm looking at, and I said this, and I've been saying this before, is that in this World Cup qualifiers, I don't think that our players. Are getting minutes in Europe, the European players, or are they good? You know, they're doing well right now in their clubs, right? If you're looking at Tecatito and what he's doing with Sevilla, probably his best Tecatito we've seen in a long time. Yeah. Hector Herrera, what he did in the Champions League, which many of you have said that they didn't want Hector Herrera anymore, but everybody just shut up after this.
You're just looking to fight everybody.
I'm just saying, you know, they're like, Hector Herrera should not be.
That's a good point, though, because like the thing was like, Ache is just like, say what you will about him going to MLS, but guess what? Right before going into these World Cup qualifiers, he's been a starter for Atleti.
Yeah. And
like I think that's been crucial. So yeah, no,
it's true. And everyone thought for some reason, I even tweeted out that Hector Herrera was going to miss the next game because we had two yellow cards, and I
was
think
that true? Was like, was that huh? true though? About the yellow cards?
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. He's only had one card,
and then just kept going.
I think one of the networks said it, and then everybody ran with it, and then he did get a yellow card, and then it was like, oh, I think it was like a pre-show, like, hey, here's who has yellow cards, this, and everybody wrote it down. Then I think other journalists wrote it, and then as soon as he got that yellow, people tweeted out he misses, and then it just kind of kept in our mind, and then we realized that he's not that he should be playing. So Hector Herrera is going to be playing. Overall, I believe that we should have enough. Our players are playing well. The important players, not saying anyone else is not important, but that's there. I know there's some talk why wasn't Alan Mosso there, you know, and however many assists, I think he's got like 7 assists in 10 games, and he's a very, very forward player. You know, I've seen, for example, I know Martin del Palacio talked a little bit about on some of his stories how maybe Tata does not like players that are not defensive, especially against the U.S.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, for example, as a León fan, Fernando, you know, I would have thought he would have been going to the national team, but he moves way too much forward.
Yeah, with right? Alan Mosso.
That's kind of like Alan Mosso.
Yeah, I think I mean, there's one thing to be like personally, I'd be like, it's easy for me to say, I'd be like, yeah, I've seen Allen most of the season and I would include him in my national team picture, but I'm also not the manager of the national team. I don't know what, I guess the best way of putting it is just like the vibes are like within the squad, yeah, and what it would be like to bring in this player who hasn't been involved in a while. Cause the thing is, like, outside of what, I think it was just, he was part of the preliminary Gold Cup squad. You'd be bringing in this new player and maybe that changed things up a bit. Maybe that alters things a bit for the national team. Like, yeah. I said, personally, I would bring him into the consideration, but I don't know what's happening behind the scenes with Allen.
Great player. Also has made mistakes, especially defensive mistakes. So maybe that's where he's judging him. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be, you know, there's friendlies that are coming up. Santi Jimenez, I think he's going to be great. I sent you guys a message. I love Raul Jimenez, but for some reason, starting Santi Jimenez was kind of be like, what the heck? And just, I feel like it confused people. And then having Raul come in like a super sub, even though I'm wearing his shirt, I just feel like it'd be kind of crazy. Santi is doing well. And that young drive, you know, coming in, it's kind of like what the U.S. did at the Gold Cup final, right? Everyone's like, but yeah, overall, I think we should be fine. And with all, you know, with all the rosters that come out, there's always going to be somebody that has problems. So we'll see it. Yeah. U.S. roster, obviously coming out. Notable misses. So here we go. This is where we kind of look at the U.S. and go, all right, the number one player who has scored, who has done dangers, who we've seen, probably one of the best players in CONCACAF, McKennie's out, right? Regardless if you don't like Dest, and he's whatever, Dest is an important player, out.
I have a question. How does one do danger?
He's dangerous. He scored on like headers. You know, he's very, very dangerous.
He does the danger. Okay. I'm coining that term now.
In like a soccer sense? Maybe off the field?
Doing the danger.
It's a dangerous player. But, and then what you said, Cesar, where the U.S. and what I'm seeing, maybe not bringing all their guns and trying to win the game at the Azteca because it's the Panama game is way more important for them.
Yeah, I do wonder about that because I was gonna say just like okay, so there's still Matt Turner has issues, Chris Richards has issues, Brendan Aaronson earlier today has issues. Yeah. So it's like if I was Greg Berhalter, and if I recognize like how important the last two games are, do I? Because I think on any other night, if I was U.S. men's national team, I had all the players available like to me, I think I would definitely go for a win. But in this situation with the injuries and with you know, the situation regarding where the last two games are arguably more important, maybe you just tell your players to bunker down and go for a draw here. I would not be surprised at all.
And that's how
I think when you consider where the U.S. men's national team are at now and where Mexico are at now, I think if this was like a month from now, like 2 months from like beforehand, I wouldn't have been surprised if the U.S. pushed for a win here. But I think that they're definitely bunkered down in this one.
I think it'd just be safe. The U.S. is always plays very defensively, and that's how it is. It's how it's worked. Look at the Gold Cup. How many shots?
Yeah.
So I feel like if they try to do that.
I think regardless, I wouldn't be surprised, like whoever they want. But like, I think regardless, they are going to, I would assume they're going to try to like be a little bit more defensive in this game, and getting a point would be a success. And then they can focus on those last two games. So I think if I was that I would anticipate them bunkering down and just trying to put a lot of attacking names out there in this potential starting 11.
Here we go. Why can't we just have Jay Carrasco's, you know, vibe? Nos vamos al mundial, nos vamos al mundial. Si se puede, carajo. We lose the next three games and the people who are in the right need, you know, win the next three games and we're out of the World Cup. Like, it still can't happen.
Yeah.
Nobody's assured of the game. I you know, we'll look at the points a little bit later, but I don't know. Amy, to you, this game's important. I think the U.S. will come out. I think we can still lose this game. We shouldn't take it seriously. But there is a little bit of an advantage, at least because those players aren't there, because the U.S. has to focus on that Panama game that's at home. And obviously, it's the Azteca. I believe the official number is 40,000 fans that are going to be there. It's still going to be a lot of fans.
Is there a question? What are we alluding to? I agree with everything you just said. This is a very bad podcast.
I was just saying, is there...
Actually, I'm going to go back to a comment that's on here from our good friend Giovanna, who says, you know who's playing well? Antuna. And I also want to point this out. The podcast that you were on, Wiso, one of the co-hosts on that said Antuna could be a secret weapon to be used. I think it's a little bit hyperbolic in that sense, but he has been playing well.
Antuna's great. I'm curious to hear what Wiso has. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I think like Antuna's been in a fantastic run of form. I think like... Antuna, he doesn't provide the creativity of a
different... Exactly. Like, Grusa still figured that out. Grusa still said, nah, do you, bro. Don't try to do any more than you can do. And it's working out for him.
I think. He would be a fantastic player off the bench. He would be my number two on the right wing for Mexico. It's like you have the Tecatito kind of like creativity things and maybe things don't exactly work out with him.
What? Go from Tecatito to Antuna.
That's okay. I think that's okay. The thing is, like, I'm saying Tecatito is a starter. You have his creativity. Tecatito, like, you know, he's a mercurial player. He does all, like, you know, the fancy moves, and he would definitely be my starter. But then off the bench, bring in Antuna, and he has a lot of pace. I don't know. I would bring in Antuna.
You know, it's actually crazy.
Antuna in for Chucky?
Huh?
Can you bring Antuna in for Chucky?
Well, I would say Chucky's on the left-hand side, and then Tecatito's the right-hand side. And I would say that Antuna would be a good option off the bench on the right wing.
I was thinking of Tecatito on the left for Sevilla. We could play Sevilla.
Yeah.
But they both can kind of play on that side. So.
Yeah.
What did I say? Even when someone takes their microwave.
No, he's not comparing them. He's just doing like 40 chess is what he's doing. Okay.
I'm obviously clearly starting Tecatito in my starting 11. I'm starting Tecatito. I'm just saying Antuna's off the bench for the second half. That's all I'm saying.
I can't imagine. Can you imagine like going toe to toe with Tecatito for 45 minutes and then here comes the killer Antuna?
Antuna has more goals. Antuna has more goals.
Yeah, but those are like Gold Cup goals against like Martinique.
Oh, well, where was Tecatito then scoring?
Probably trying to get some sort of deal for an extension with Porto, and then I don't know.
All I'm saying is that this is Tecatito needs to step up. This is it. He did score against the U.S. First 2 minutes in the Nations League. Even when Antuna wasn't playing well at club low, he seemed to show up during national team games.
Granted, it was against Cuba, but yeah. Gold Cup.
Let's talk about starting 11 against the U.S.
I'm out.
What would that field in the starting 11? Obviously, you get Ochoa.
Yeah.
Here's the defense. It's kind of, I feel like this is really, really tough. I think he's going to go with Gallardo. That's like my only.
Yeah, I think he's putting some trust. I think he's, I wouldn't be surprised if Araujo was starting as a right back situation, or even if it wasn't Araujo, the next best option would be Jorge Sanchez. So because there's a little bit of risk there, I think he's going to go with his more safe.
If it's not Jorge Sanchez, who's it going to be?
Araujo, Julian Araujo on the right hand side. So I think because
Amy, let's go to Amy with how do you feel about Julian Araujo? How's he been playing? Because I feel like
I would have been in a much better place 2 games ago. These past 2 games have just not been. I saw him live on Saturday. Was it Saturday? And I mean, I hope the switch flips or something, but it's just not been the best.
And that's what I'm saying with all these players, like, oh, Arteaga's doing well. Oh, Julian Araujo's doing well. Mosso. Guys, these guys make mistakes like in their club, and they have been. For example, Julian Araujo, which.
Yeah, it's been a good run for him.
Against Seattle,
he was a PK, scored an own goal. Like, it's been a bad 2 weeks.
Don't bring that up. That's old news. But
no, I'm just saying. Do you bring in you bring him in and you start him against?
No, but I'm saying that own goal is unfair because when he came on for national team duty, I think after the fact he actually had a pretty decent performance for the national team. Now though,
yeah.
different. You're preparing for, yes, a crucial game against the U.S. You can't afford to make mistakes like that. Again, maybe it'll be different when he goes to the national team, and maybe those mental hurdles won't exist now that he's in camp. But he did have a few mistakes these past two games that, you know, you do. You look at them from a national team lens and you're like, I don't, for all the hype that we were giving him and, you know, for replacing Xhaka and all this stuff, this isn't what you want to see for, like, a player that you were hoping to make a difference.
I don't see Jorge Sanchez being that bad of a player. Like, I think he can get the job done.
I don't know. I think the issue with Jorge Sanchez is that we all gave him kind of like this high ceiling, and he hasn't lived up to it, and he's kind of...
Didn't he stop in the game against Canada? Wasn't he like raving about?
I think we're no, but we I think we expect a lot more from him. We really expect a lot more from him. Yeah.
I thought I remember that he did really, really well.
I think either way,
Gallardo on the sides, then in the middle. Here's where I have some questions, and I feel like Araujo, Nestor Araujo, who's been playing, Moreno, who Tata has, and there's that leadership that's there. I don't know, Moreno Araujo, which is what we expected to go through all this, but obviously injuries. Montes is in there. As much as we want Johan, Tata sent Johan to the bench. To the stands. So I don't necessarily see Johan put in a start against the U.S. first time and won a World Cup qualifier. I'd be very surprised if he would do that. I think it's going to be Araujo Moreno.
Yeah, I think what would be interesting too is we'll see what the situation was with Araujo. He did have a slight injury issue over the weekend with Celta Vigo. It didn't seem like a serious one. He did have a slight injury issue. So I think it would be Moreno Araujo. But if it's not Moreno Araujo, I think it'd be Moreno Montes.
I think
could it potentially be Moreno Vasquez? But then at the same time, like you said, like I would be surprised. I'd be very surprised if he were to give a chance to Vasquez in this game. I think he was a chance of Vasquez.
Moreno and Montes have played together for that same reason, because they're both left-footed. So I think if Araujo's out, that maybe could potentially have Johan in there, and it's Johan Moreno.
Yeah, I mean I would welcome that. I think that'd be really cool.
We'll see those four. So it's just see what the center backs are, and in the mid, obviously Edson Álvarez wasn't going anywhere. In the minute I said that, he didn't start the last game, but Edson Álvarez, and then Charlie Herrera. There's no question he's going to go with Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah, especially since Charlie Rodriguez has really worked his way into starting spot with Mexico. And it seems like, I don't know, it's interesting just that it seems like Edson, Acheache are kind of guaranteed starting players. But I know Guardado is injured, so he's not available in this current window. But it seems like going forward, Guardado no longer has a guaranteed starting spot for all three, regardless of the fact that he's the captain. I think that part of that has been how good Charlie Rodriguez has been for club and country. So I think that you will go there. Although I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if Tata's looking for a little bit more mobility in that midfield. Maybe there's a chance you have Edson as a defensive midfielder, and then you have Gutierrez and then Charlie as like basically two kind of like tens in a weird way.
Herrera's going to start.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I think Achach is going to start there with Charlie, but I wouldn't be surprised if Eric Gutierrez got the start too.
No, I'd be really surprised if Herrera is not in the starting lineup. So somewhere in there. And then up top, the question is,
it's the tridente, right? It's got to be the tridente.
No, but Hold on. Is Chucky Lozano 100%? He just came back from injury and only played one, like, he's only been back 1 week.
He's getting minutes, though.
Yeah, he's getting minutes, but is he full 100%?
I mean, do you start him and then sub him off, or do you try to sub him on later?
I just feel like if he's not 100%, I think we have players that can play.
So don't play him at all.
Exciting if he's not 100%. No, but look at what Pulisic did
for this game, or just through,
huh?
Like for just this game,
see how it is. I mean, if he's 100%, playing 100%, but he's not 100%, you know, could be as a sub, bring in, there's a combination of great players that can play there. Yeah, like, you know, we've seen what Alexi Vega can do. And damn it.
I think if Chucky is available for minutes, like I said, who knows what that's going to end up doing. But I think if Chucky is available for minutes, give him the start, give him 45 minutes, just because the U.S. men's national team, they're going to bunker down. Like, I assume that they're going to bunker down and play defensive in this game. And then maybe one of the first subs you make, if it's not working, if Chucky's not looking entirely fit or healthy, then you bring off Vega off the bench.
I don't think coaches do that. No, if you're, hey, you're not fit, we're only going to give you a half. I feel like if you're not fit, look, there's players that can do, especially in this game. Didn't Pulisic not play against Mexico in the qualifier and came in as a sub because he wasn't 100%? Yeah, and then he scored.
Like, yeah.
When Pulisic came in, it changed the game.
He'll be curious to see what happens there.
Because you're saying not play him at all, but you're saying...
No. Yeah, if he's, come in, don't start.
But if he's not 100%, do you still sub him up?
Yeah, because even like an 80%, but he's not going to start. I'm saying he shouldn't start. If he's not 100%, you shouldn't start, right? Then it's needed. If it's 0-0 and, 45 minutes have gone by, all right, Chuka can go for at least 45 minutes. Let's get him in there. But
I think it'll be curious either way to see what happens on that left wing, whether it be Chuka starting. But also, yeah, Alexis Vega has been,
Alexis Vega.
And I think that's why someone like Alexis Vega was almost like, I'm not going to say that he's almost going to be a lock for the World Cup roster, but if you don't have more players stepping up behind Raul Jimenez, you have someone like Vega who could play as on the left wing, obviously with Aldri for the most part. But also, it also essentially as like a false nine for Aldri too. So I think he'll have a good opportunity here, especially with Pizarro too, who could have potentially gotten a chance.
Yeah, he's in. He's completely in. Someone that's out. I mean, where's Cordova? So I mean.
Yeah, I mean, so
it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, I expect that if Chucky's there 100%, the Tridente that we have still not seen do wonders. Maybe this is the game. All I know is it's Mexico versus the U.S. If Mexico loses this game, like, it's four losses against the U.S. in less than a year. Or no, a year and a half. It's not like we're not going to the World Cup, but huge. Huge loss in the Azteca, and for me, Tata's not the right person. Like, that's it.
Wait, you'd fire him after the game?
I would. I would.
Really? No, you can't do that. I would.
I'd be like, sorry, turn in your resignation.
Who do you bring on?
Huh?
Who do you bring?
Anybody else. It's not working with Tata.
No, anybody else.
Who wants to come in?
You have to give him the window. You have to give him the full window.
No, there is no window. No, if he loses on Thursday, you fire him on Friday.
Huh? Does the scoreline matter in any shape, way, or form? Like, what if it's a 1-0 loss?
Nope. Felt 1-0 on the 94th minute. You couldn't get it done against the U.S. at home in a World Cup qualifier where the U.S. doesn't have their best player, where they're not even giving, 100%. No, it's over.
If there was a coach who could handle that kind of pressure to have Mexico qualify for the World Cup. I mean, I know that the things are looking good for them. I know that their next opponents are looking like pretty straightforward, but I'm not entirely sure if I feel more comfortable giving that kind of responsibility to another manager who would coach Mexico in those last two games, as opposed to giving those opportunities.
Bring in Piojo for the last two games. For the last two games. What do you mean they can do that? Like, all of a sudden something happens to Tata, right? Or they can bring in
how many days are between
it's that bad. Yes.
No,
it's not on Friday.
Okay, I mean, this also seems ridiculous too, to say this, and I don't agree with any of this, but say Mexico loses to the U.S. and then in their last two games, they whatever the results are. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Mexico loses to the U.S. Whatever the results are in the next two games, they find a spot to the World Cup. Would you still drop Tata, and then bringing a new coach. Because maybe
you dropped up. So he stays for the window, but they lost to the U.S. So you drop him
after they won.
I'm just
he's not the right person.
Just trying to fulfill Wieso's desires.
Yeah, anybody on the chat right now disagree that if we lose against the U.S., you drop Tata? If it's Friday
regardless of what the results are for the other two games.
Yes. That's even if we win the other two games.
I don't know.
If he's not ready to put in the pressure, like, this is the pressure game.
Tata ain't it.
Yes. And look, I don't come in and, like, we got to fire somebody, but that's four games that are very, very important to Mexican soccer. This is, you don't lose in the Azteca. Any other manager that does not get fired for losing in the Azteca,
I don't know. Chepo was a different thing. I think that there's a sense for me just that, like, I can see, especially in recent months, I can see why people have questioned Tata, and like there have been some serious concerns there. But I think at this point in the window, it sounds ridiculous, but like you don't make a decision during this window. Maybe let's reevaluate things after the. It's too. So we can't make a decision between Thursday to Sunday. When you like, if Mexico loses the game and they still have an opportunity, if they're about to lose opportunity,
I can see your point. But let me just give you this. Let me give you this scenario.
No,
we lose against the U.S. Hold on.
You think you can go Honduras this Sunday? I know what your schedule is.
We lose against the U.S. Right? Do you really think that we could beat the other two teams by even after losing in the like he lost it. He couldn't get his team to win in the Azteca against the U.S.
I think if you make it, you got to make it after the window. You got to make it.
I'm worried that this coach could not take the players. And now the game against Honduras is extremely important. And yes, Honduras is not the, you know, Honduras.
This is Honduras. So they're already eliminated. Honduras already eliminated. Ecuador could be eliminated.
Wait, let's not start that because Trinidad and Tobago was already eliminated.
All I'm saying is this. Now, let me paint this picture. Mexico loses against the U.S., and now we have another game at the Azteca, right? The second game is at the Azteca?
The last one. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Then we go to Honduras. Do we go to Honduras?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With pressure in Honduras, right, who will still play because it's against Mexico over there. Do you think that we can pull off a win? We need a win now away. Even Honduras is disqualified, but it's still Honduras in Honduras. I'm nervous that Tata can't get that done.
I don't know. I want to hear what
on Friday. You bring some other manager emergency that knows all the players that says, all right, we're going to do it. At least get a tie and then come back to the Azteca to beat El Salvador.
I want to hear what Amy has. I don't know. You and I have been going up, but like, I want to hear what, because I feel like that's too quick. I don't
know. Mexico has done crazier things. So we use that as the bar, right? We use that as the bar. They've gone through crazier things in terms of cycling out coaches in and out. Is it as bad as that? No. So by those standards, I would keep him for the window. I don't think it's drastic.
You guys aren't wrong. That's just what I would do. Just send a statement.
I could see where you're coming from, Wieso. I think a lot of fans see where you're coming from, but I think that just like it is more risky to try to bring in a new manager within that short amount of time to try to qualify for World Cup. I know Mexico don't need much more to qualify for the World Cup, but I think it's just so much more risky unless if it's like, oh, guess what? Like, Bielsa's interested. I'd be like, cool, bring him in, let's go. But that's not the truth.
So Mexico loses 7-0 in the Azteca. You're keeping.
Why would we lose 7-0?
Wait, come on, you can't.
You're giving me these hypotheticals.
Mexico loses 40-0, and every player injures himself.
I'm bringing in,
and they all blame Tata.
I'm bringing in hypotheticals too.
Okay, but that's
Mexico loses 7-0 in the Azteca. Do you keep Tata?
No,
but that's not going to happen.
Okay, then.
I asked that is there a mark? Is there like a bar?
Your level of shock is at 7-0. Mine is just 1-0. Like that's the difference.
No.
You will fire him.
Okay, okay, good. So once again, so we still, all right.
And you're like, okay, so if Tata punches a reporter in the face on Friday.
On Friday.
All right, wait, so what's the answer then? What's the answer then?
Look, I know. I'll be really pissed. I wouldn't even watch the next two games. I wouldn't. I'd be like so angry.
That's because, okay, first of all, liar, because you're going to be traveling, so you might not be able to watch the next two games.
It's true. It's true. Anyway, all right. We're not going to lose against the U.S., so I don't know why we're doing all this. Tata's going to stay.
It's probably going to be a draw.
And then, but I would, even if Tata loses and wins the next two and gets to the World Cup, we have perfect time to find, you know, Piojo. Yeah, Amy, you know how I said Piojo shouldn't come back? I would be like, bring Piojo back in there. And yeah, Vasco Aguirre coming back.
So why can't Mexico get a win? Why can't we assume that? I feel like that's something we haven't talked about. Like, what if Mexico gets the win here? Because guess what? It's looking, bringing Landon Donovan for that.
Bringing Landon Donovan for that. Someone's really trolling me.
How is Loyal doing anyway?
He's doing all right with Loyal. Yeah, he's doing all right. Yeah, but semi impressed with him. Yeah.
All right.
Spanish is probably better.
Let's talk about how many
points. I think the only way that it works is if they press early, but it's not like our finishing has been quality stuff.
Yeah.
Recently.
We're not going to lose to the U.S. We might tie, but we're not going to lose. So,
everything's out. We hope.
The next game, Honduras. I mean, this is not where we're talking about how many points. So, did anybody make the math? Like, can we qualify if we beat the U.S.?
So, if
other things happen?
So, once it don't, I got a final.
Do you remember when there used to be like the calculator that comes out? I feel like Medio Tiempo is not coming out with that cool calculator anymore.
So, or yeah, no, right? Had, like,
do your homework.
I gotta, I gotta,
no,
I gotta
calm down. It's not about doing my homework, but like there were really cool like calculator simulators that people were like, hey, put in people's scores and then you'll do that. Yeah, yeah. Or is there anybody on the chat that can send it to me in a Word doc, Excel spreadsheet?
So don't quote me on these numbers because I still need it.
This is why I want to quote you on these numbers, Cesar.
I need to go through them once again, but I'm like 90% sure about these. But if Mexico win, if Mexico win, but Panama defeat Honduras, and if Costa Rica defeat Canada, then nothing's guaranteed for them. Most of those other results, if Mexico win, then they're basically, for the most part, guaranteed a top four. Now, what Wisa wants to hear is, like, how is it top three guaranteed? So, if Mexico win, if Panama lose, because remember, if Mexico right now, they're at 21 points. If Mexico win, they get 24 points. If Panama lose, I'm getting that look from Wisa. If Panama lose, they're at 17 points. And then if Costa Rica get a draw or loss, then they're at 17 or 16 points. That means that Panama and Costa Rica wouldn't be able to make up that 6-point difference, and top three is guaranteed. So the way for Mexico to guarantee a spot in the World Cup is if they win, and if Panama lose, and then if Costa Rica get a draw or a loss. Other situation, nothing is guaranteed.
We so use the space filter.
I'm looking for it. I'm literally looking for it right now. I'm trying to get there. I know it's somewhere in there.
Dude, you already made it. Can't you just
put
your filter?
It is right there. It is right there. It's true. Well, hold on. No, it's yeah, it's right here. Oh wait. I got it. Yeah, right here. This is while Cesar is
I'm trying to figure out how to calculate it.
I have like 8 other scenarios here too. But basically, root for Panama and Costa Rica not to do well.
Thank you, Lisa.
So can you repeat that? No. We just gotta win. If we win, if we get 4 points, we're in.
Yeah, basically Mexico's gotta win and then just root for Panama and Costa Rica not to do well. Long story short, and then we'll talk at the end of that night to see, you know, where we're exactly at.
I'm gonna be a little selfish. I want Canada to finally lose a game. Right, so go Ticos. Hopefully, they can win at home.
Even the Canadians. Just...
And then
that's the true rivalry wins. That came out of CONCACAF this
call. And then they've been real quiet though. I don't know. Canadians have been real quiet. They've been on my mentions lately. I don't know why.
If Canada lose to Costa Rica, and then if Panama lose to Honduras, but Mexico win, a top three wouldn't be guaranteed, but only a top four would be guaranteed for Mexico.
So yeah, okay. So finally, this is on my own personal. Canada finally gets a loss. Mexico wins, right? And the second one, I believe, I think it's – who does Costa Rica play?
Costa Rica plays Canada.
Yeah, no, the second game?
They play against the U.S. too.
Yeah, they play against the last game, though.
Yeah, 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 because U.S.
– Then Panama beats the U.S.
You said Costa Rica?
Right? Huh?
Costa Rica's second game?
U.S. still has to play Panama and Costa Rica. Against, so they're Salvador.
Okay. So I'm just saying, like, Mexico wins their first game. Costa Rica wins the first game. Panama beats the U.S. in their second game. And then Costa Rica beats the U.S. in their third game.
There's a lot going on here, Lisa. Just like me saying all those numbers, there's a lot going on. Is it my turn to play the Reading Rainbow song?
Anyways, all right. But, all right, let's talk about predictions. Like, who do you think, what's going to happen? Same three, Canada, Mexico, U.S., make it through. Who's your fourth team that makes it through? Right? We're all saying Canada, Mexico, U.S. make it, right?
I don't know.
Really? You think?
No. I'm saying, I was saying, I don't know about the fourth.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, whoa.
No, top three go through. And then,
yeah. I mean, everyone, right? Is there anybody that on the chat that thinks that Canada, Mexico, and U.S. are not going to go through? Tell us. But who's your fourth?
I'm gonna say it's gonna be Costa Rica, just because Panama have to play the U.S. and Canada.
Panama gets easy 3 points first, right?
Yeah, but they still have to finish with the U.S. and Canada, though.
Does Panama play third, Amy?
Who does Canada play third?
Yeah,
that's Panama.
It's Panama.
No, sorry, Panama. Who does Panama? Oh, so
that's Canada.
Canada.
That's Canada. That's Canada. That's Canada.
I'm going to go ahead and eat a Cliff Bar because. All right. So Panama has. Yeah. Ooh. It's Costa Rica then. Costa Rica gets the playoff.
Wouldn't it technically have to be Costa Rica to favor Mexico? Like, we have to say Costa Rica would be fourth.
I think the issue, though, is just that, like, So because Costa Rica, they play Canada first, then El Salvador, then the U.S. I think I'm more leaning towards them just because Panama have to finish with the U.S. and Canada. So it's tough.
Canada, Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama. All right. Man, if the U.S. doesn't make it to the World Cup.
There's no guarantees for them. There's no guarantees.
They lose the first game. Right. Let's just say they're going to lose the first game. Right. Then something happens in that Panama game where they just, because Panama's going to want this World Cup. It's going to be a tough game. They're going to want that World Cup ticket. Panama wins or even gets a tie. And then the U.S. has to go to Costa Rica, who Costa Rica needs that win in order for him to win the World Cup.
Do you think somewhere
in Costa Rica,
somewhere out there, there's like an American Outlaw podcast, and just like, if Mexico loses to the United States, and then if they have issues away against Honduras,
they have
to host El Salvador,
and then El Salvador, like it could be possible. Like, we were all in shock 4 years ago when the U.S. could not beat Trinidad, and we're like, wow. I mean, as much as we hate the U.S. team, rivalry aside, you kind of go like, wow, that happened.
I think if it happens again, there's gonna be
like 20,000 players that are gonna go to Europe in the next year. Like, it's just more mad.
It's gonna be. It's just like things change very, very, very quickly in World Cup qualifying in CONCACAF, and it's gonna be very, very interesting to see what mental standpoint you know everybody is at after Thursday night's results, because there is still a lot of room for movement for the U.S. and for Mexico. Yeah.
Oh, all I know is that it's going to be great. The last 4 years ago, watching those games unfold at the same time, just kind of like, we're in already. But love the drama. So we'll see. As much as I would want the U.S. not to make it, oh my gosh.
Don't say that yet.
Spreading your bed.
Wasn't it weird? I don't know. Like we could say that, but like, there's a part of me that was like, not gonna lie, I was just like a little like anxious for them, like heartbroken. I was just like, oh man, it's like there's a rivalry here, but like, do I actually want this?
No,
I don't know.
There's two reasons. One, no, they made like as a rival fan. No, screw it. Hopefully they don't make it. As I now know a lot of people that work in U.S. soccer, and I've gotten to be friends with them, like, it sucks. It sucks that they don't keep working. Yeah. And it's only because of them.
Yeah.
Because it would crush them, just like it would crush me. But then as a fan from, like, you know, the 2001, I'm not over the fact that they beat us in the World Cup and I started crying. Like, that is never going to go away. But I've gotten into the media. I work with a lot of people that, wow, you know, that...
You just say it just in case they're listening.
It was just devastating. So, all right. Wow. Well, there we go. Mexico, U.S., Mexico, Honduras, Mexico, El Salvador. All the games are going to be interesting. So, did we answer, Amy? Who's your fourth? I think Cesar and I have Costa Rica. Who's your fourth that goes through?
No, my follow-up question was, wouldn't we technically want Costa Rica to be the fourth in order for that to favor Mexico? So, if that's the case, then I guess I would go Costa Rica too.
All right. So we're all picking Costa Rica. Did anybody else say anything different? Alex said Panama. Frank is saying, why is Frank saying Hector Herrera out for the USA game? I don't think it's right.
No, that's not right.
People have said it again. It's highly possible that Mex beats USA. Panama is hungry. They can beat USA. It's Panama and CR is also hungry. Never lost to USA and CR. So it's crazy if it happens that both Panama and CR can qualify. That would
I think a lot of stuff can happen, though. That's just the theme of this window. The first game is just a lot of stuff can still happen. And getting those 3 points could be the difference between you looking much more likely to qualify for the World Cup or you really, really, really looking at a tricky situation here.
Yeah. All right, prediction times. Mexico versus U.S. I'll go first. 2-0. We come back. Tata does wonders. He's a miracle man.
Just for the less.
No.
He's a miracle man.
Yeah. I come back. I'm so happy with Tata. But if he loses, he's
vamos, like, Tata. Fired.
If Tata can win 7-0, I'll tattoo, you know, Tata. No, I'm kidding. That's not going to happen. I say 2-0. I say 2-0, and then, you know, the whole Azteca starts yelling 2-0 just to be funny.
You have tattoos, Luis?
Huh?
You have tattoos?
No. I can't think of anything that I would want more for more than a year. I keep asking myself every 5 years, and I'm like, okay, in 5 years, if I like this tattoo, I'll have it. If Mexico is going to win the World Cup, I was going to get the crest. But since the crest changes, I don't ever want to like have an old crest on my chest. So I don't think I'll ever get a tattoo. My mom told me that the hecho en Mexico on my back is muy naco. So I should...
Okay. Well, so the answer is no.
So no, I don't. Amy, do you have tattoos? Does anyone have tattoos in the Mexican soccer show?
But
no. My parents were pretty against that, so like that's weird. Because my wife, Kimberly, she has like 80 tattoos, but I don't have a single tattoo.
Guys, if Mexico wins the World Cup, we all get tatted.
What's the tat that we get?
I don't know, but we get something tatted.
We could get Keen tattooed on us.
Is it just Tata's face somewhere?
Yeah. If Tata if we win the World Cup with Tata. Tata's face right here.
On our forehead.
On our tatas.
So dumb.
All right, so we said we forget a tattoo. Mexico goes past the fifth game. No, el quinto partido. We made it. No. All right. So what's the prediction? I'm going to go 2-0.
I'm going 1-1.
You're a tie, Cesar?
Yeah, I think U.S. could be super defensive. And then
Mexico 1-0.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with cool Mexican 408 or whatever his numbers were. I'm going to go 1-0 Mexico.
I'm not saying this is what I want the score to be.
Mexico 2-1. Tony, let's go. Mexico 3-0. One goal for each loss. Dang it.
Wouldn't it have to be 4-0? Oh, no, 3-0. You're right.
Saying the 1-1 is what I want. I'm just saying that just, you know.
No, it's fair. I'm not mad at you.
That'd be funny. Mexico wins 2-0 and fans going to be yelling 2-0 like they did in November. Yeah. All right. So Cesar goes with a 1-1. Remember, Mexico tied in the Azteca 4 years ago with a Bradley goal.
Was that the Michael Bradley goal last night? That broke my heart. That was a fantastic goal.
Cesar is going to be there. Hopefully. I'll be there. We'll try to do something outside the stadium, giving you guys some all that's happening. So hopefully there's many of you that are going. I think somebody said that they're going. So if anybody's going?
Yeah, say hi to us.
Yeah, say hi to us. 7-0 for Wiso. Let's do it. I'm down. All right. So got a surprise planned afterwards. So as long as we beat the US, so I'll let you know where I'll be going after. But yeah, here we come. Okay, now I'm hyped.
I'll tell you guys.
I started the podcast saying that I'm not like feeling it. Okay, now I'm feeling it. So
now I'm feeling a 1-1 draw. Now I don't feel it.
Yeah, with Cesar's 1-1 draw. I just hope, please don't. Let's not go down 1-0. Like, do you remember that 2009, like Mexico versus U.S. in the Azteca, Charlie Davis scoring that 1-0.
Yeah, but we came back on that one.
Yeah, but that 1-0 is like, just can you imagine that happens?
But Mexico came back. It was
That was Efraín Juárez' greatest run in the history of Efraín Juárez.
Oh, so hopefully, what is it? I interviewed him about that assist. Hopefully, have an article out about that. But it was pretty cool. He said that was like that made his like.
Where is he at right now?
He's at New York City FC. He's the assistant coach.
Oh, that's right.
It's pretty great. So really quick, I'm going to like reveal some things about that article. Who knows what's going to be in that article? But he was telling me he went on for. I had four questions for Efraín in that interview, and I asked him one question, and he went on for 40 minutes about that game and how important it was for him, and how it was like incredible for him, just like. There was like the day of the game, there was like helicopters that like zooming in on like the hotel where the team was at. How he was impersonating a very tired Landon Donovan, who he's like run past for the assist for the game winning goal. And then he was telling me that the way that he celebrated after that goal was that he was picked up by his parents outside of the Estadio Azteca. And then they went to his favorite steakhouse in Mexico City, where he said he felt like Cristiano Ronaldo after providing that assist. So yeah, Efraín. Yeah.
Nobody remembers Miguel Sabah's goal. Like that was a good goal too.
It was a good goal, but it was Efraín who created that though. Yeah.
Was it who scored the other one? Was it Pardo?
It was Castro. I think it was Israel Castro. Yeah,
it was Israel Castro. That's right.
As a golazo for that one. Yeah.
But you just see like this. The TV camera shaking because the Azteca was so loud that, yeah. Good vibes. It's
different
now. After that, 2014, I mean, 2018, Bradley.
That was Bradley with the 1-1. And then after that.
Oh my God, why can't I remember the Azteca in 2013?
There was at the 0-0. That was a 0-0 where Omar Gonzalez. 0-0. That was where Omar Gonzalez was killing and just like every cross, he was just like heading out everything.
0-0. Before that, 2009, we talked about it.
2000.
Before that, 2005.
That was a game winner from Borghetti, I think.
Man,
I think it was Borghetti.
I remember all the qualifiers. Before that, 2001.
It was probably. I don't know.
That was the year of the Aztecaso against Costa Rica.
Yeah, I remember the 2001
game. All right. All right, guys. Well, thanks everybody for joining us again. Somebody's talking about the firma, la Gio.
Oh, that was a World Cup qualifier.
that was Israel Castro's goal was nasty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, USA has never won a qualifier match in the Azteca. No, Mexico's only lost two qualifier matches in the Azteca against Honduras and against Costa Rica in 2001 and Honduras in 2013, and both have cost managers' jobs. You lose at the Azteca on the qualifier, you should be fired. It's in the contract.
Is it in the contract? Did you see the contract, Lisa?
You initial and date it right there.
With blood. All right. Amy, thanks again for joining us. Cesar and everybody on the chat. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we're on a podcast next Monday. Go on, we did it. See who's not on there. We can talk about the game. Cesar and I will. We try to do a space. Maybe we can still do a space. It kind of gets kind of crazy outside the Azteca with with so many people going in, but we'll try to do that. But it should be fun. It should be fun. All right, guys. Bueno. We'll see what happens. Hopefully Mexico wins. Dos ceros, tres ceros, siete cero.
For sure.
See you guys. Hasta la próxima.